to tonight's show. You can connect with Take Two Radio on Twitter at Take Two Radio and at Dawn Take Two Radio. You can also look us up on Facebook at Take Two Radio. Check out our website at TakeTwoRadio.com and follow us on Blog Talk so you can stay up to the minute of each episode as we add it. Each episode is always available for download immediately following each broadcast. And you can also download every podcast on iTunes. Thank you for joining us. Well, hello, and welcome to Take Two Radio. And, of course, tonight you are hearing me right off the bat. I am co-host Dawn, and the reason for that is because our lovely and beautiful and talented host of the show, Pam, is ailing tonight. But she is with us. Hello, Pam.
Hi.
You're such a trooper. My gosh, I cannot believe it. You've been deathly sick all day, but gosh, I'm so glad you decided you were able to call in. So that's great, because, you know, this is your show. So what a trooper you are. And also, we have the lovely Sabina with us tonight. She is our sub co-host, and she's also going to be helping us out and helping Pam primarily. Hello, Sabina.
Hello.
It's great to have you with us tonight. Thank you for being here. And tonight's show is a show we've been really excited about for a little while now. Ever since we booked her, we have got a guest tonight that is a two-time Emmy Award winner, and you know her from Third Rock from the Sun, The Exes. She's got a brand new book out called Guts. And we would like to say hello and welcome Kristen Johnson. Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear us?
Okay. Yes, I can.
Awesome.
I can't believe you're sick after all this.
You know what? I can't either, and it hit me last night. I said it couldn't wait one more day. And I feel like I have 110 fever, but I'm freezing to death and then all that good stuff, but I wasn't going to miss talking to you for at least a few minutes.
No, I mean, you've been stalking me for about 6 months. So.
That's right.
Poor thing. Well, I hope you get better soon.
Thank you. I'm not only a stalker, I'm a good pimper, too, so.
Yeah, you are. That's true. Yeah, you don't shut up, do you?
No, I don't.
I love it. I love having you in my corner. I hate to have you as an enemy.
Oh, yeah, I won't say any more than that.
Yes, I know she's got to be this sick to be off social media for a day, trust me. So I know all too well. She's working when I'm sleeping and vice versa. So,
I'm sorry, what is your name again, Dawn?
Oh, my name is Dawn. And we've got Sabina. We've got Sabina with us tonight, too,
great.
Kristen.
Okay, great. Hi, Sabina.
Hi. Hi, Kristen. I'm actually your second number one pimp.
Okay, I know who you are.
Yep.
I almost said your last name. I hope they can bleep that out. Well, hi, nice to meet you, too.
Yes, it's very nice to meet you. I guess I can start the ball rolling with this wonderful question I had in mind. I would love to know what it was like working with John Lithgow and Joseph Gordon-Levitt on Third Rock. I absolutely loved that show.
It was pretty much horrifying. I'm just kidding. It was. Could you imagine? I actually didn't say it was true. The whole cast was incredible. There's really not much, you know, it's so funny because it's this job that I did that I loved. But that ended, you know, I don't know, 12 years ago. And it's amazing. I still every day get questions about it, which I don't mind, but it's so far away for me, you know. But it was wonderful. And, you know, John taught me how to be on a set, how to be professional, how to treat people with grace and class. And, I really owe a lot to him for that. And Joey was, I call him Joey, but Joe, he was probably my closest friend on the set because, you know, Jane had already been through it with Saturday Night Live and John had already been through it and French was married. And you know, Joey and I were just sort of like, what? So we really relied on each other, and he's one of my favorite human beings alive. So it was a great time. I loved the show. I did not like everything that surrounded the show, but the show itself was wonderful.
Well, it was definitely different, but it was funny, and it was almost like it had its own cult leading. You know, people just absolutely love it and followed everything.
Well, you know what? I think it feels like it's almost even more popular now in a weird way. People just love it, and I love that kids love it, and I guess it's just gotten this whole second life, which I, of course, don't see a dime of, but I'm thrilled.
Well, and it wasn't just canceled, or it's going to get canceled or something?
No, you mean Third Rock? Oh, what are we on?
Yeah.
Are we on
Third Rock?
Yeah. Third Rock was canceled 10 years ago.
Okay, yeah, okay.
So,
I didn't,
there you go.
I didn't
way
watch
to Google.
It, so I'm a little behind on that.
A little bit.
I have to say I loved you as Holly on The X's. Now, that's one of my favorite roles.
Oh, thanks. Well, we're going into our third season, and that will be air. We're going to start shooting it in March in L.A., and then that starts airing in June. So people have to wait till June for new episodes, which kind of stinks. But
I hate those breaks in between.
Well, I mean, this is ridiculous. This is like a year. So, but we're not excited about. But you know, basically last season two of The X's was, you know, in my humble opinion, and I don't like much TV, to be honest. I just thought it was exceptionally funny and really well written. Really a great ensemble, just well produced. Everything was so good. But because there was this really crazy, like, DirecTV Viacom issue, that really hurt us because for like a month, but TV Land decided to keep airing it, even though in like 80% of the homes it wasn't aired. And then, of course, the Olympics. So we were kind of screwed, but even despite that, we had really good ratings for that. But we really need to. This is the season we really, you know, we kind of need to get it together, or we need to just call it a day. So I hope.
No! Don't do that.
I hope it finds its legs. I really do, because I believe in it, and it's such a fun show. I really like it. So.
Well, what do you love about playing Holly?
What do I love about playing Holly? I think she's very close to me in a lot of ways, but she's got such a different life than I do. You know, she's, you know, this high-powered divorce attorney, and you know what I like the most about her? I like that she's smart and dumb at the same time, I guess. That would be my question.
That's true.
She is. She's just smart. She's dumb. And I love those characters. It's kind of like Sally.
Right.
Or
I like the one where you're my boyfriend throughout the whole show. It was
my God,
so funny.
Yeah.
This is my boyfriend. I have a boyfriend.
I know. Embarrassing, but true. But I love that Cedric Vader. Hopefully he'll be coming back on for more episodes. I love him.
Yeah, it was a good addition.
Yeah.
Now, if it was written as three girls and a guy, who would you choose to play the other two girls with Holly?
Oh, interesting. That's a good question. I could have anybody in the entire universe?
Anybody.
Okay. I guess Sue Costello, who is a comedian who I just love, and she's got a great little podcast herself called the Paduzzi Cast, whatever. But she's hilarious and brilliant, and one of the funniest stand-ups I've ever seen, personally. And she's nuts. So I love her. And she's very Boston, you know. And then who else? I would love, this is hard, putting me on the spot. Probably, who? ask me again at the end of the show, because I really want to, like, have time to... Well, because it's important. I really want to answer this, and I want to, like, say the exact people I want, but I just, you know, I got to think for a sec. I got to think while somebody's asking a question.
That's okay.
I'll just be flirting it out throughout the show.
That's all right. That's fine.
Okay.
And we'll listen for it.
Okay, good.
Sabina, you had a question?
Yeah, I was just curious if you had any mentors and who they might be.
Oh, great. Smart lady. I love these questions. Mentors. You know, it's kind of embarrassing, but my shrink, weirdly enough, my shrink, Dr. Mary, I talk about her in the book a little bit at the end of Guts, because the reason she's my mentor is because she supported my writing so much. I would walk in every single week with a new chapter to read to her. And she was the greatest audience I've ever, like, she would laugh, sob, cry, you know, be in hysterics, stand up, applaud, I mean, everything. With every line, you know, and gasping and shrieking. And she just adored the book. And it's what really inspired me to continue to write. And so I owe her a lot. I guess that would be my one answer. I probably have a couple, but she certainly in the last 5 years, she's been my biggest mentor. And she's also cool. And
yeah,
you know,
book
when you find
a
shrink
fantastic.
That's kind of cool. Oh, thank you. Well, and you know, when you find a shrink that's cool, you know, you just got it. They're a keeper.
That is so true. You know, that's a rare gem in that field.
It is. It really is. I mean, I've been around for a while too, and she's certainly not the first one I've haunted. And I just, gosh, I just really respect her a lot and have a great time with her. I always feel like therapy should be a conversation with someone else who's smarter than you about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I mean? They have to be smarter than you, and I don't mean just like book smart. I mean, they just have to be cleverer than you.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard. Sometimes it's hard to find. Because sometimes people will be like, oh, so did you return the red shoes? And you're like, that's not the point of the story.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they need to be more clever, because they need to make you be able to arrive at your own, you know, issues that you're trying to work through with them, and they have to have clever ways of being able to do that. So
also not be afraid to be generous and kind. And she isn't, you know, I've never really met someone like, you know, who she's a lovely woman. She's just very kind. Well, let's get off my shrink. This is embarrassing.
No.
Well, I'll tell you what, I will change the subject and ask you a question. You know, it is no secret that you've had a long and celebrated theater career. And so talk about what aspect of the theater that you just love the most.
Well, probably since I'm an addict, probably the instant gratification, really. But, you know, actually, my favorite thing to do in the world is what we're allowed to do in theater, and you're so never allowed to do really in film, and we're allowed to do a little of in television, is rehearse, you know, is really figure the themes out. And, if I pick up this here, do you think that would be funnier than if I picked it up after, whatever, stuff like that. And I just love figuring out the mechanics of it. And I find that, you know, the actors that I respect the most, and this is certainly what I try to do, is I work so hard to make it look so easy, you know. So if anything else about me, you know, whether you like my work or dislike it or whatever, you know, at least you can say, well, you know, she makes it look easy, you know. I want people to not be concentrating on my performance, and, you know, how wonderful an actress I am.
Yeah.
You know, I want them to, you know, get lost in the story. And, but with theater, the other thing that's amazing for me is, you know, in theater, I get these great roles, you know, Beatrice in Much Ado, and these leading, great, cool roles, and in a way that I just, you know, I'm just not in contention for in terms of film, which is fine. But so in theater, I'm sort of, you know, like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I'm the Anne Hathaway of theater, basically. I'm just kidding. But, no,
yeah.
You know, I just have, it's just a lot more opportunities for a lot of great roles. And that's what I love about it, too.
Well, I had a quick question. I wanted to know if you remember the Berkshire Theater Festival in Massachusetts.
Yeah, Smell of the Hill. Yep.
My best friend said she was there, and I don't know if you'd remember her if I told you her name.
Did she watch
the
show, or what do you mean?
She was involved in it in some way. Oh. No, she was actually, at that time, she was an actress herself and did some theater work.
What's
her name?
And
she said her name is Lorinda Norton.
You know, the thing with me is I'm so bad with names, but I'm so good with faces. I'm sure if I saw her, I'd know her. I'm sorry. I hope it doesn't offend her.
No, that's okay.
But,
I will probably send you a picture because I.
Yeah,
she
sure
said
I
you
know
were fantastic.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
nice.
She said you were such a hoot and so much fun to hang out with and work with.
Well,
so.
I try. I really do try to have a great time because, you know, life, it is short.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We've got to have a great time. And I also, again, you know, something I learned so young, which is, I mean, she must have been on the crew or something, right?
I didn't quite catch exactly what she did. She was supposed to look up some information for me, but I can always ask you.
She wasn't one of the actors because there was only two other women, and I know who they were. But so she obviously worked on the production on some level. But the thing that's important to me is, you know, we're all, and this is, you know, I teach at NYU too, and I really try to make sure that my students understand, you know, that we are, you know, the person who does the prop is just as important as you are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have, everybody's a part of a team. No one's better than anyone else. No one's more important. You know, we're just all one and one for all. And I really do try to have that attitude. So
that's a fantastic attitude to have for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty rare nowadays, tragically, but it served me because, you know, when I do a big, you know, talk to like the whole school at NYU or something, and I'll say, you know, what do you think the one quality about someone, that makes them have a long career? What do you think the one thing someone needs is? And everybody goes, you know, looks, talent, you know, connection, blah, blah. And it's having a good personality. You know, look, are there boneheads who get to have success? Absolutely.
Of course, yeah.
But if you are a cool person to work with, you will always, always, always get work.
That's true. And I think a big part of that has to do with loving what you do as well.
Yes, totally. But, you know,
now,
I mean,
also read that you like teaching acting more than you like acting. Why is that?
Well, no. What I said was I used to think I was put on earth, you know, like the point of being here was as to be an actress.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that, I've been an actress all these years so I could learn how to be a good teacher. And I believe that. And so that's what I don't know if I like, I mean, one over the other. There's certainly, I love teaching. And the only reason I'm fairly good at it. I have my bad days too, but it's because I go in with that attitude. You know, I'm just so grateful that I know enough.
right,
I actually
right.
know enough to teach something. So that's been good. I've been doing that like 5-6 years, so it's been great.
Now, do you go into somebody else's class and do this?
No, I go, well, it's my class at
you
NYU.
You have your own class? Okay.
Yes, it's the Atlantic Theater Company is my theater company.
Mm-hmm.
And they are this brilliant production company and repertory company, but they also run a huge, very successful school called the Atlantic Theater Company Acting School. And basically what I do is, and one of their things is they also teach via, they're one of the studios at NYU. So, does that make any sense?
Yes,
I'm making it so much more complicated than it needs to be. But
you're
basically,
okay.
It's, yeah, anyway. So it's, what was your initial question? I don't even know. I hope I am.
Oh, I was just saying that
who
I
knows?
Read that you like teaching
oh, God. Look at
more
me.
Than
I
acting.
On a tangent. Yeah. No, I would say I like them different ways.
In different, yeah. Really. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And now author. So let's
now,
talk about guts.
Yes. Well, it's actually not brand new. The lovely, adorable
no.
lady who introduced it. It's
the paperback
brand new.
Is brand new.
It, absolutely. But it is, it's actually been out since March. The hardcover is doing exceptionally well. Certainly not as well as those Real Housewives books or whatever.
Oh,
but,
please.
No, but you know what I mean? It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
You're like, they didn't even write it.
Yeah.
But whatever. Anyway, but it's doing really well, and it has, you know, I guess what they call in the biz legs, meaning that, you know, it's got, it's just got, you know, word of mouth, and just a lot of people are really enjoying it, and a lot of people have been very affected by it, which is just, you know, it gives me pleasure to no end, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I read it because I like you, and I wanted to, and here I thought it was going to be like a comedic kind of book. You know, I didn't realize what it was actually about.
I mean, it is funny. Hopefully.
Well, yeah, I have to say that.
Because
I
would never want to be like one of those bores who's like.
No. But I didn't realize what guts meant, literal guts. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I called
it guts because my mom, I said, and so I'm thinking of calling it guts. And she went, oh, no. Oh, I don't like that at all. So I was like, okay, well, that's going to be the title.
Oh.
Anyway, but so sorry, what was your question about?
I was going to say, I'm not an alcoholic or I don't struggle with drugs or anything like that. But just from reading your book, I got so much inspiration in other areas of my life.
A lot of people say that. Yeah, I never intended it to be some addiction book. I really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I really set out to write, you know, how does an old dog learn new tricks, or how does somebody wake up at 38, 39 and figure out how to change their life, you know?
Right.
And that part has resonated with so many people. But also to tell it, my objective was, of course, to tell it, you know, in a way that I like to read it, which is, you know, funny and full of life and truth, a lot of truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were definitely very honest, and I think that's the way you should be, unless, you know, you're going to write just a make-believe book. If you're writing about your life, then you need to be honest about that.
But, I mean, most people are not, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I, from what I've read, you know, and I'm not trying to be like, pat myself on the back. I'm just saying that, like, So I actually went up to my publishers at one point because I was, I don't know, 6 months into writing it. I was exhausted and I was like, this is hard. And so I asked them, and one of them had worked there, you know, 20 years, and they do all sorts of, all the celeb stuff. And I said, how many other knuckleheads didn't use a ghostwriter? And she said, none.
Yeah.
Like, in 20 years. So, So
and you typed this out with your two fingers.
With two fingers, yes. I'm not even a typer. And I designed the cover because I'm a control freak. So,
oh, my gosh.
Both covers, actually. I designed a different cover for the for the paperback as well.
Well, because I didn't get the paperback because I already had the e-book, you have a special forward in the paperback book.
I do.
Now, are you
going
to tell us, or do we have to go find it?
Well,
I looked.
Well, here's what you can do, okay? Look, I'd rather you buy it. It's $10.
Uh-huh.
And if you give it to somebody who might need it. Okay?
Yeah. Yep.
Or you could do what I would do if I was running a little low on cash and I had already read the book.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a corner of a bookstore and read the stupid foreword.
That's what I did.
There you go.
I've totally done that.
Yeah. You know, also a lot of I will never see another dime for this book. So I was paid 2 years ago. I'm not trying to sell. I'm trying to get this book out there. I'm trying
mm-hmm.
to get it out to the right hands. And unfortunately, it's not an easy task in terms of, a lot of the bigger chains aren't carrying it, Kmart and Walmart and all that, which is a bummer. And the airport chains aren't carrying it, which is such a bummer, because I feel like it's such a perfect airplane book.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason I'm promoting it so much is I really want people to the more it sells, then the more it gets picked up by different chains, and the more Walmart goes, oh, let's carry that,
mm-hmm.
So that's really the end. That's the means to the end that I'm looking for.
Well, I think that if Walmart and any of the other chains would just read the tweets that you get on a daily basis, they would pick it up because you've helped
so
many people.
Oh, I know. It's been, as I say in the foreword, I mean, because the foreword is all really about you guys. It's about,
mm-hmm.
sorry, I just put my phone into charge. So, it's really about thanking, the experience that it has happened after us. And the profound thing, and I list by name. I think I list you by name, doll.
Me?
Pretty sure I do, yeah.
Oh, my God, now I for sure have to get it.
But I do, I list
next to it, it
names.
Says stalker, right?
No, I just say, no, you have to, it's the people who changed my life by just changing your own. I
mm-hmm.
could be wrong, but I'm fairly
yeah.
certain your name's in there.
Okay.
I think I saw Pam.
Pardon?
I think I saw your name. I'm trying to remember. There were so many different names I was looking, so.
I can check right now. I have a copy.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
yes,
okay.
I don't know. I have yeah, so. All right, keep going. Ask me a different
question. Well, what made you write the book now?
Well, interestingly enough, initially I just wanted to write a book because I needed money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my 40s, I'm an actress. It's not that easy. It doesn't
right.
just come floating your way. And so I was like, oh, God, what am I going to do? I can't be a waitress. That would be, here are the, it's not a pride thing. It's more just like, oh, God, yes, I was on Third Rock. What do you want it to eat,
Yeah.
it just would be so distracting. So, I was really trying to think of, what else could I do? And I was being very witty and charming one day at my agency, and the literary agent came up to me and said, you should write a book. And then we sort of talked and all this stuff, and she asked me to send some of my writing, which I was like, ooh, because I don't even journal,
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, I was like, well, I have some term papers, and she's like, no. So I actually ended up sending, because a couple of my friends have always been like, you write the best emails, if I want to, and sit down and, okay, so I said, I can send you some emails. And she said, yeah. And one of them ends up, is this email that I sent to my friend Chris when he was brand new to sobriety, and I had been 6 months sober, and it's about, you know, my new, like, how, it's just about telling the truth and sort of my life, how I see my life now. And it ends up being, it's the chapter, Welcome to the Planet of the Apes, in the book. So anyway, she had read that email and said, you have to write this. And I said, honey, I was like, I've told five people, I don't talk about stuff, you know. And the minute I hung up with her, I just started writing. I never stopped. And so it's just sort of been this, it's been this avalanche that is just, I couldn't help it. I just had to tell it.
Well, and once it starts flowing, a lot of times you have to sit there and just keep writing while it's there.
Exactly.
Because, you get into that little glitch where you're like, oh, no, now what's next? And then you...
Yeah, but the thing that was amazing I did not know I could write. You know, I mean, and I love it. I've always loved reading. I've been a huge reader my whole life. And I was so happily surprised. It was just a fun, joyous thing to discover something, you know, you can do something, you know, in your 40s. I was like, oh, what's me? I'm writing a book, you know. Sure, there are problems, and it's raw, and there are issues with it. But, like, you know, it's because it was written by me, not a ghostwriter, you know.
Right.
People want more stories of my career or this or that, and... You know, the bottom line is that wasn't the point of the book.
How long did it take you to write it?
A year and a half. Yeah, it was.
You
hard.
Think it would have gone
not...
faster if you knew how to type?
No, you know, I don't know, because the whole, like, the joy of putting. First of all, my two fingers go fast. FYI, I'm not some. You know, I don't go to get it. I mean, I type really fast. But,
oh, do you?
I'm sure it would have gone faster. I think what it was, you know, I also had jobs. You know, I was doing acting jobs.
I
was editing the book all night, every night, and getting the book ready to go to the printers while I was shooting the first season of The X's. You know, so stuff like that. It was hard. It was stressful.
Yeah, I can imagine. What kind
of feedback?
Also going
through that time, you know, that time in my life isn't exactly, you know, It's hard. You have to think about it a lot. Like, how do I put into words what happened to me that night in the back, you know, when my guts exploded?
Well, you were very descriptive. You did a very good job of it.
Thank you. Well, I really wanted people to understand the sort of level of excruciation and the humiliation and sort of, you know, what happened to me, you know. So I really had to go back there and kind of live there for a long time.
Yeah.
Something I don't want to do again.
I was going to say that couldn't have been too enjoyable to have to
no,
think
it
back.
No, it wasn't.
What
it's why
you went
I won't
through.
Be doing like a long running one woman show on it or something, because I, you know, people ask all the time, but it's too much. I just, you know, there are parts that are just a blast of the book that I could do. I mean, I would read you right now, but like that, there are certain parts of it that I can't. It just would be too much.
Yeah. I like the part where you met up with the girl, Amy,
and yes. Amy, it's really amazing. It's an amazing story. And, I'll explain to your listeners that there's this part in the book where, I was so humiliated when I was a kid because of my height and because of, I was just a dork, and I was a reader and whatever. And so, and I also said the worst things at the exact wrong moment and things like that. So I was really kind of tortured by the group of very chic, popular girls. And there was this lead girl named Amy, and that is not her name.
Right.
And in fact, if you want to know the inside scoop, that's actually two girls that I combined into one. And I did say that at the very beginning. Yeah, it's these two girls that were, they ruled the school. And there was one of them was stunning, and one of them wasn't quite as stunning, but was hideously mean. And and then I ran into one of them many years later at the in the local mall, and she was quite different. It was great. She asked me for my autograph. It was awesome.
And, you know, without a thought in her head, she probably forgot what she even did to you.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, I think that's the way a lot of times. I just think that they're like, and that's why I wanted to make it so, hide who that person was so much, or those people, because I, you know, those people probably say to their kids, like, I was friends with her. You know, I don't want to, people change. They get cooler. But I don't want to punish somebody for something they did when they were 11. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Yes, kids can be cruel, but then they grow up to be adults and see what they've done and hopefully change at that point. So.
And you know the guy, Sully, the guy who I end up kicking and who beat up my brother a lot?
Yep.
Actually, I found out that he is a long-term AA member. That's not his name, by the way.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Who he is not, he's been an AA a long time. So isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Mm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a small world, and... You know, a lot of people have more problems.
And AA makes it smaller.
Yes,
no,
exactly.
Smaller. I mean, that's the thing I've learned is, you know, wow, there are so many people that are hurting and struggling. And I really thought I was kind of alone, you know? I think you feel that way when you're struggling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, or you think you're the worst, or, you know.
Right.
And then to sort of through the guts, it developed this amazing community on Twitter and on Facebook, of especially the Facebook page too, of just where people can turn to support each other. It's incredible.
Well, what I have to give you kudos for is that you actually talk to these people when they say something or if they ask you something. You actually talk to them. A lot of people don't.
Why wouldn't I? I know.
Well, because a lot of them don't. They write a book and that's it.
Then why do you have a Twitter account?
Pardon?
I don't understand why you would have a Twitter account and then not talk to people.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot of them.
Good point.
A lot of them.
It's just weird.
Yeah, but
anyway,
not many people are Twitter-holics like us.
I really do try to talk to everybody if I can. I mean, I miss a lot of people, but I try to talk to as many as I can.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine being you and having, like, 1,000 tweets every second coming at me. So I give you credit for that.
Tweets, but, you know, some days it's a ton and some days it's – but, you know, I just – especially with people who are you know, struggling or have gut issues, you know, questions about addiction or whatever. And, of course, I'm not some expert, but, you know, I'll listen. I'll listen to anybody because that's all I needed, you know. I just needed somebody to care,
Right. And I know, and in anything that you're going through, you want somebody to listen to you and not so much ask for their advice, but just sit and listen to you. And once you get it off your chest,
respect you enough to hear it. Now, if people like pouring their pain out on me every day, no, I'm not interested in that.
Yeah.
But if you need to share something with me and you are struggling, I'll read it and respect you, you know. But then I get people who want to have coffee and stuff, and I'm like, I can't, you know. Otherwise, I'd be, you know, literally at Starbucks every day, all day long. I can't. And some people got offended by that, but what can you do?
Well, you can't please everybody, you know. But
no,
I think you
have to have really good boundaries. You just have to. But, you know, like there's a friend of mine who I probably listening. She's a friend of mine from Twitter. And I'm not going to say her name, but when I first interacted with her, she asked me to follow her or something, and I said no or something. And she said goodbye. And so instead of dumping her or saying, okay, whatever, I ended up following her and DMing her and just saying, what's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the start of a friendship for my life, of this woman who just needed somebody to care, and she's been a remarkable friend of mine. So, you know,
wow.
It's been great.
That's an amazing story. Well, I want to touch on something else that I admire you for, and that's you're a co-founder and executive director of SLAM in New York, the first sober high school.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. How did it get started?
Well, there are over 30 sober high schools flourishing across the United States today. And there is zero in New York State or city, which feels wrong. I mean, there are four in Boston, in the Boston area alone, okay?
Wow.
So, anyway, I just think it's wrong. And one of the reasons my attention was brought to it is when I went to rehab, I walked in, I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit drunk, and I just thought, oh, my God, am I at a summer camp? Like, I just didn't know what had happened. Why is everybody 21? And then when I sobered up, I asked my counselor, and he said, and the look on his face was just horrified. He said, Kristen, this is what rehabs look like nowadays. And since then, I've really started, in the last 6 years, I started researching and finding out terrifying information about that one out of every one in eight United teenagers in the United States meets the medical criteria for addiction. One in eight.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And one in 70 will go to rehab. And if a kid goes to rehab and goes back to their regular high school, their chances, I mean, you should just flush $40,000 down the toilet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Their chances of relapse are like 90%. I personally think it's 100, but there you go. I mean, come on, I would have been gone within the first 2 minutes. But if a kid goes to a recovery-based high school, 70% of them graduate drug and alcohol-free.
That's wonderful.
So it's a profound movement, and one that has been such a really life struggle of mine, and I just want it to happen so badly. And I don't even care about teenagers. I do, but like I'm not like some teenage person, but like it's what we should do. It's the right thing.
Right.
We need to take care of our kids. And I don't think we do as a society. So I've been trying to make it a public high school, which has been disastrous. They will not, say yes to us, the Board of Ed. And so now we're making it a private school with, a huge percentage scholarship, because I don't want it to be some, community school.
Right.
And it's not rehab. You can't go. I don't want, people to go just their mom and daddy shove them there because they don't know what else to do with them. The kid has to want to come.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'm trying so hard to do it. It's not easy, but we're still rocking it. And if anybody's interested in more information, please visit our website, which is slamnyc.org. And you can get more information there or whatever.
And you can donate every dollar.
Oh,
helps.
We would love it. We would love it. Any little bit helps. We need stamps. No, I'm kidding. But, no, what we're really looking for right now is since we want people to now to underwrite school, we want to make it a private school.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're approaching sort of big companies to try to do that. Sure, any little bit helps, for God's sake. And it really is, we're really hardworking. We really care,
Yeah, yeah. No, I hope that you get the backing that you need because I think it's extremely important. I mean, you see too many TV shows about these kids in school and partying it up and, that doesn't stop at summer.
We have no idea. The workforce, what we're about as a nation, we are about to be hit with a generation of addicted, messes,
right.
And that destroys the economy. It destroys, there's the health system. It's just the whole thing gets involved. Everything.
Right.
It's so it's just horrifying.
So if you love your kids, you know, start doing something
well,
now.
Well, yeah, or, you know, if you're in, if you live in Nevada and they don't happen to have a sober high school, if you look, if you are really interested in this and you just Google recovery high schools, there is an association of recovery high schools. I prefer calling it sober high school, but they
mm-hmm.
like recovery, so whatever. But it's the same thing. And there are lists of, you know, the 35, 40 that are across the United States if you're interested in helping them out or in getting more information.
Right. I would highly recommend it.
Yeah.
I would love to keep talking and talking, but we have a lot of callers on hold.
Oh, we do? How exciting.
I think
okay,
you're
good.
Popular for some reason, so maybe we
oh,
should
good.
Start taking them.
They're probably furious at you. They're like, shut up.
No, not at all.
Okay. All right,
first
yeah, let's
up, go. First up, we have Chris from Buffalo, New York, speaking of New York.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Kristen. How are you?
Hi. How are you, honey?
I'm okay. First of all, obviously, I'm going to say I love your book. Like many
good.
People, sat down, read it
I'm
one
so
night.
Glad.
I've actually
yeah.
read it twice and then heard it on audio. So.
You're kidding.
No.
That's
and
so cool.
I'm not going to lie.
Glad
I did,
I'm glad.
I'm not going to lie. I did go to Barnes & Noble the other day just to check out the new foreword.
You did.
But
oh
I feel
God,
like
so
I contributed.
Funny, you did.
And
you
also,
know what? Buying three books or whatever, or buying the audio and then that buys you a pass.
Well, Kristen, we have also spoke on Twitter many times, and I was part of the group who purchased books for other people.
Wait, oh, wait. What's your Twitter name, or do you not want to say it?
Cuz Tweets.
Huh?
Cuz, K-U-Z, Tweets.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Oh, hi.
So you were part of what?
Remember the effort to buy a copy of Guts for somebody who maybe couldn't afford it or couldn't have didn't
right,
have access
to it.
Right,
and then that went down in flames because some kids, like...
Yeah. I was able to get a book out, though. So
good.
I was happy about
oh,
that.
Oh, you were? Thank
yeah.
you.
So I have a couple of questions for you.
Okay, well, hurry up,
because
we got a lot of people.
I will. Might be a little weird. Do you believe there's such thing as, for lack of a better word, accidental addiction or dependency?
You mean sort of circumstantial? Like,
well, I'll use my own example.
Yeah.
I was
yeah.
in a bad accident
uh-huh.
and have had many surgeries due to it. So obviously
yeah.
with surgery comes the medication.
Yeah.
So never any history in my past, nothing actually against it. And have caught myself a couple times wondering if I'm falling to it. You know, like in your
uh-huh.
book where you're like, oh, hey, did you see that squirrel? And then you kind of like
yeah.
pop, you know?
Well, wait, let me ask you this. Do you take as directed?
Yes. But there are times, because I do have genuine pain and have found myself
yeah.
maybe a little bit more reliant than
mm-hmm.
I should be.
Okay. Well, look, I say this very clearly. I am certainly no addiction expert by any means or
right.
doctor. So please take this with a grain of salt. I don't think there is such a thing as accidental addiction. I mean, I think... certainly, if you get a lot of surgeries or whatever, you can become reliant on painkillers. You know, you can become addicted to them.
Absolutely.
Without even thinking about it. And so I guess I think that putting the word accidental on it makes it more like, whoop. You know, this is
right.
more like, you know, you should talk to your doctor about what's going on because you don't want to end up, you know, 20 years from now,
right.
a junkie, you know, under a bridge, you know, this, and I certainly, you know, relate, I get that you're in pain and I get you need something, but I think you need to maybe relook at how you're navigating it. Because
exactly. And that was part of my second question as well.
Uh-huh.
Do you feel as though somebody who might be in that situation, who others may not know about it, do you feel that they should kind of speak to someone or do something about it without necessarily speaking to family or friends first, or should you have that conversation and then let them be there with you.
Wow. Well, let's say we're talking about someone named Tim. So if Tim feels like he could get support from family or friends, then yes. And there's no shame in it. It's like, look, this is getting complicated for me. I've been taking this stuff for a long time because I have to. And now I find myself feeling weird about it and maybe taking too much or whatever. So I need your support with this or whatever. And so I don't know. And then I would certainly talk to a doctor, absolutely. But if you have if Tim has a good connection with a couple friends or their family, I would definitely share that information. If you don't feel like they'll be like, oh my God, you're an addict.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there'd be support. It's just kind of, lack of a better word, letting out the secret.
Yes. Look, let me tell you something, hon. If you've read my book this many times and it affected you so much, there's something going on.
Right.
You know, you're relating to it on a level that, that you should look at, I think. Again, I wish I had, like, you know, I was from Harvard taught. I don't know. But, you know, my advice is share it, talk about it. You know, you seem really open. You seem cool. You seem like a really smart guy. You have excellent taste in books. So I would really try to become a little more open about it because you can all of a sudden, like, your whole life becomes secretive when you're trying to protect that, you know?
Yeah, I know. I definitely agree. And like I said, I wanted to ask you about that because in a way, I guess I kind of feel like it could be that. So that right there is a red flag for me.
I think so. I mean, I think so. It's enough. It's enough that I, you know, if I was your buddy, I would say, you know what, let's check it out. Let's talk to somebody about it. And, you know, talk to a doctor about, you know, if there's any other way to navigate it or a smarter way or, you know, a pain patch for, I don't know what your issue is, you know, but sort of a way so that you don't have that obsession of like, oh my God, I have 7 pills, so let me take 4, maybe 3, how about 6, you know. I mean, I just know what that is. It's crazy.
Right. No, I understand. And listen, thank you so much for your advice. That's exactly what I needed.
Thank you for your support.
Hold up other people that have been waiting patiently, such as myself.
But I think you probably helped a lot of people by asking those questions. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And I wish you all the best of luck with the school.
Thank you,
I wish
heart.
There was a way I can.
All right, shut up
contribute.
Now. So I can get to call.
Bye, Kristen.
Love you. Let me know on Twitter how you're doing. Okay.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you, Chris. Have a good night. All right, let's see. Next up, we have Michael in Florida. Michael, you're on with Kristen.
Hey, Kristen. How are you?
Hi, Michael. Is this Michael?
Yes, this is Michael.
Hi, how are you?
I'm perfect. How are you?
Good. So
awesome.
What's your question, doll?
Hey, I want to ask you, do you want to tell me about your Shorty Award nomination?
Do I want to what?
Do you want to tell me about your Shorty Award nomination?
Tell you about it, or you mean talk about
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Well,
about
yeah.
Well,
yeah. I mean, I'd love to. I mean, it's I really, really want to get this. You know, the short. You guys know about the Shorty Awards. It's like it's the Oscars for Twitter, which I don't know what that. But you know, it's these awards they give out for Twitter, and I really want me as the author of Guts to win. So if you have a Twitter account, just nominate me. As an author, and the reason I care so much, and I don't care about awards or anything, is I really, really want more people, again, to be turned on to Guts and to know what Guts is and to read Guts. So, thank you.
Absolutely agree. Hey, I think it should be in any household, you know, like a Bible, almost. It's great.
I can't hear you, doll.
I said I think it should be in any household.
Oh, I purposely wrote it. It is linear each chapter, you know, but I purposely wrote it so that you could read any chapter separately if you wanted. You know, like there's a beginning and a middle and an end to every chapter. It's sort of like a short story per chapter.
Absolutely. Hey,
well, thank you, darling. Yeah.
Ask me about my favorite part in the book.
Ask you?
Yeah.
What's your favorite part of the book?
Well, that's funny that you should ask. My favorite part was right at the end, where you say you will never be quiet again. And
oh, never! I know. I'll never again will I believe in anybody else's reality.
Right.
That one.
No, it's.
I know what you're talking about. After this agent comes up to me at a party and says, you know, you shouldn't tell people you're sober. And I was like, why? I'm writing a book about it. And he said, it just makes people uncomfortable. And so I was furious. And then I decided afterwards, I'm never going to shut up and I don't care.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's my favorite
never
part.
Never care, never shut up.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Kristen.
Thanks.
Bye, sweetheart.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Scott in PA. You're only Kristen.
Hi, Kristen.
Hi. Did you say your name is Scott?
Yes, this is Scott Faithful.
Oh, Scott!
Yes.
I love you, Scott. How are you?
I love you, too. Good. How are you?
Excellent. So what's
good.
Your question?
I have a couple quick questions. Following you on Twitter and following you on Facebook, you know, you share a lot of things that people message to you and the way that your book has affected them. They share, you know, how they feel. How does that make you feel that people have gone to get help, are seeking treatment because of reading your book?
Honestly, it's the most humbling thing that's ever happened to me in my life. It's like I say in the foreword, I'm humbled to my knees at what has happened. Instead of becoming like, oh, how great, it's like, really? I just feel so honored that it's done this and that I just said the truth. And I think that's what is so important about lifting the shame, and that's why I tried to do this book, because I didn't have to. I wasn't arrested or whatever. And so I was like, I hope this lifts the shame for people. And it really has. I mean, it's enough so that people are, like, talking about it and getting the help they need. There's a long way to go. I'm not saying it's fixed. But, you know, people are able to ask questions like the gentleman just before of, like, is there accidental addiction? You know, things like that like, maybe they wouldn't have felt comfortable asking before. And that makes me so happy. And, that, of course, the people who've gotten help and so are sober because of it, it just blows me away.
It is. It's really wonderful. And I think, unlike a lot of celebrities, you know, I don't know of any press, you know, about what you went through.
No one knew.
No, and I think that's a good thing because it seems, you know, when you read your book and then, you know, getting to know you and communicating with you, it's like, you know, your book is straight from you. You know, you actually wrote it. And it just seems that when other celebrities, you know, write books about it, they're doing it to kind of market themselves, advance their career and try to turn something that was personal into, you know, some kind of thing, and you haven't done that.
Yes, that is not what I wanted to do. And no, I really, really wanted to look. There is, you know, my mother's not thrilled. She thinks it's too personal and private. But there's a point when you go, okay, there's personal, there's privacy, right? Which I'm very private. You know, I don't like run around. You know, you don't see me, you know, boinking every Hollywood guy. You know, I'm very, like, private about my private life. But this, I just felt like if I don't talk about it, I just didn't want the shame anymore. I just don't think there's any reason to be embarrassed by being an addict. I just don't. And I'm sick of being in church basements, and I'm sick of, you know, scurrying around like we've done something wrong when we haven't, you know? And so I hope that helps a little bit.
Definitely. And one last quick question.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you put in the book that you regret doing so, or is there anything that you did not put in the book that you wish you would have?
Really good question. I do not regret anything in the book. I think if I could go back, I would maybe try to elegantly touch upon some family dynamics without kind of hurting anybody, which is tricky. But, you know, a lot of people have asked me, like, gosh, you know, your family sounded so perfect, and you ended up like, and I'm like, well, not really. You know, look, every family has their issues. So, but I really, it was so important that my family's so private, and I didn't want to hurt anybody. So, I don't know. But yeah, maybe I would have touched upon that a little bit.
Okay.
But other than that, everything I wanted that's in there is in there, you know?
Good. Good. Well, I'm happy for you. I'm really, and I just ordered
Thanks,
another
sweetie.
Shipment, so I have more books to give out
best.
To people.
You really are the best. I love you. You're the greatest
I love you,
guy.
Too. Love
Take
you,
care,
too.
Sweetheart.
You, too. Have a great night.
All
bye.
Right, honey. Bye.
All right, Kristen. We are at the top of the hour. Have you got time to take one more call, or do you need your code?
I'll take one more.
Okay. All right. Okay, we were taking one last call, and we've got Dean from Facebook, he says, on with you, Kristen.
What's his name?
Hi, Chris. Hi, Kristen. This is Dean from Seattle. You know me on Facebook?
Hi, Dean.
Hey, how are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm doing really good. It's raining, but I'm doing okay. Surprise,
right.
Surprise.
Good, good, good. So, wait, refresh me.
I've been following, or
oh,
I've been chatting.
Wait,
yeah.
Did your last name begin with C?
Yeah.
Okay, I know who you are, cutie. Okay.
Yeah.
I get it. Sorry,
Multiple.
You know.
Okay.
A lot of people.
It
anyway,
is,
how are, okay, so ask me your question before they kick us out.
Oh, no problem. Well, just wanted to say, you know, love to you and hugs to you, and I hope you
thank
and Pinky,
you.
Your rescue dog, are doing well. And I just
thank
wanted
you.
To thank you for, you know, it's so refreshing to see a celebrity like you that, you know, when they make it up the ladder, they don't pull the ladder up behind them, you know, they leave it down.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You just, you've worked so hard for everybody. But my question is actually about
yeah.
Wayne Knight.
Oh, oh God. Okay. No, I mean, I love it, but okay. Interesting.
I love, you know, both in the X's and on Third Rock from the
Third
Sun.
Rock,
just
yeah.
the way you guys play off each other is so
yeah.
unique and classic. And you know, it's
yeah.
you know, you could be in 100 different shows with 100,000 other people, and it just I can't
know.
Imagine you would ever have that interaction with somebody else. And how
I know.
You know, what is that like? I guess
well,
is my question.
Well, you know, it's a great, it's really been one of the greatest gifts of the X's because, you know, when we first started acting together on Third Rock, you know, because they kept hooking Sally up with all these, like, super hot guys. And,
yeah.
you know, which was fine, whatever. And then they had me, and he was supposed to only be on one episode, and they had me sort of be attracted to him because it's, you know, his gun. And I remember saying to the producers, this is it. That's her guy. That's
yeah.
who she wants, you know. And, but, you know, I was struggling, and I was having such a hard time during Third Rock. And, you know, he and I just never really connected as humans, really. I mean, we liked each other. We worked together really well. But it was then when the exes came around, and we've both been through so much and learned so much about ourselves that he and I sit in my dressing room on the exes and talk philosophy for like 10 hours. I mean, he
wow.
is one of the most intelligent, generous people. I mean, I could make him cry in a millisecond. You know, he's one of those weepers. Like, if
yeah.
you just talk about something sad, his eyes well up. Anyway, and I just love it so much. And I was worried at first when he was cast because I was like, oh, I don't want it to be like a Third Rock reunion thing. You know, I wanted to
yeah.
do something totally different. But, you know, he's so magnificent that, you know, who am I to complain? So, and now
yeah,
I'm
no.
so glad it happened.
Yeah, and the characters are so different and the dynamic is different on the X's that, it's,
I know.
You
know,
you
know, I just didn't want to be like the press
yeah.
thing. You know, I just didn't, and they didn't. So it's been great.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Well, thank you for taking my question and
thanks,
big hugs
hon.
To you. And
you
thanks for being there for all of us.
Okay, thank you. I love all you guys. I mean, anybody out there in social media, you guys are amazing. So, thanks.
Thank you.
Well, it's funny that it's all men callers for you. You see a trend going there?
Well, yeah, where are the broads? They don't have one girl that can
just
ask the question?
Just us three broads.
Well, yeah, you're enough. You're enough estrogen for me.
Yeah, right. Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us on our show.
Thank you. It's really been
special for me, I know. And
thank you.
Even maybe for Sabina a little bit. And
you know what?
I have to say,
you sound 100% better.
I just drank some tea.
I feel like we've cured you, this conversation.
I think you probably have, yeah. No.
You guys are always so supportive, and it means a lot to me. I just want to thank you so much for all your support. I mean it. It's really beautiful, and I'm so flattered and honored, so thank you so much.
You're very welcome, and keep just being who you are. Don't ever change for anybody.
Well, honey, I mean, I'm 45. It ain't going to happen, you know.
Well, you never know. Sometimes you do that. But we don't want you to change.
Right.
We like you just the way you are.
Trust me,
and I would love to have you back in the near future, maybe after the exes come back on, and then we can talk about that some more.
I'd love to.
Okay.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you, Kristen.
Bye. Okay, bye, sweetie. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Well, we apologize to any of the callers that we didn't get to, but, you know, we set this up for 30 to 60 minutes, and it's gone on a little over 60 minutes. So we'll have her back on. You heard me invite her. She said yes, so you can call back at that time. When we have somebody like this on our show, you have to be quick with dialing the phone number and call before the show starts to get in line. Otherwise, it's kind of hard because we had, probably 20 calls at least on hold. So
yeah.
It's hard to get to all of them. We'd have to go with no interview and just take calls.
Well, maybe next time we can do some of that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, do a little catch up and then open up the phone lines and take calls. So.
Yep.
Sounds
like a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to let you guys wrap up because I've had it now, and I know I shouldn't have done the show, but I could not miss this. I could not miss this.
Yeah.
I waited so long, and I had to talk to her no matter what, even though Dawn was yelling at me not to do it, but...
I was like, are you crazy? You're sick of yourself. But no, I'm glad you kind of bounced back for a little bit of time, long enough to, you know, to come on air and actually talk with her, because I knew how much you've been looking forward to this since we had her book. So seems like what seems like eons ago now. But as so many of our guests that we have on, you know, we have booked for so long, and then the time finally arrives, and it's like, wow, you know. So, I know all too well what it's like to wait to have somebody you really want on the show, and you know they're coming, and it seems like it'll be forever, and then when they finally come, and then today of all days for you to wake up just, you know, morbidly sick, I'm just glad that you had a little bit of a reprieve long enough to be on the show tonight. So, we tremendously thank Sabina. Thank you so much for joining us and hanging in there and pulling us through. Not knowing if
Pam
was
going to
make it. Oh, well, thank you for being here. It's been great having you along. So,
thank you. I called Dawn this morning frantic and saying, I'm dying. Please call Sabina to come and help us. And I didn't think I was going to do the show at all. And here we are. So, thank you, Sabina.
I want to say I am, when you called and left me the message, I was really worried. I was like, you know, she should really be at the hospital right now. I don't think she needs to be calling me. I hope I'm going to go so
I don't cough your ear off. Thank you, everybody.
Okay.
Have a good night.
All right.
Take care.
We want to thank all the listeners for being with us this evening and for joining us. And like Pam said, you know, if you called in to speak to Kristen and you were unable to speak to her, we will have her back. So and we will take more fan calls next time just to try to get in as many as possible. So
thank you so much for being here, and we will be back on Wednesday night. And for those of you who are into psychic mediums, we have a great one coming. Her name is Lisa Kay, and she will be right here Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, so you'll want to tune in for that. But in the meantime, I want to thank Sabina and, of course, Pam for joining us. And I am your co-host, Donald. And with that, I will say good night. Enjoy your evening, and we will see you again here on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Take care, everyone. Good night.
Tonight's show has been brought to you by One Taste of Main Street Cake Shop, baked from scratch, custom-made cakes and cupcakes, and you'll be hooked. Every cake is made to order with only the finest and freshest ingredients. This is no ordinary bakery. Cakes are never pre-made. Main Street Cake Shop is in demand, having provided cakes and cupcakes for numerous prestigious events, bridal fairs, and venues. Owned and operated by April Murray, she has garnered many awards for not only her exquisite cake designs, but also for their incredible taste. If you're looking for a cake for any occasion, or cupcakes in a variety of flavors, then Main Street Cake Shop is the place. Visit them on the web at mainstreetcakeshop.com.